So many people each and every day, you know, the statistic is 98% are Catholic. That means 98% of them pray to Santo Niño. We got to visit the chapel, you know, the chapel on top of the hill, or right down the hill from it into the city. The whole city makes their money off of selling these idols. And you saw some of them. The fastest selling idol in Mexico right now is Santa Muerte, which, if you saw the little picture of a couple idols, he looks like the Grim Reaper. Has the sickle and everything. That is an idol that they buy to pray to. It's not a religion based on Jesus Christ. It's not a religion based on the gospel, on this word. As somebody said this morning in Sunday school, they really want to control the people in the congregation. And it's very true. They want to have that control. But please pray for us as we prepare to go. We have our table out there. And on our table, we have our cards. Please, you can take as many as you want. Put them in your Bible. Put them in your bathroom, up on the mirror, when you're shaving or brushing your teeth. You can have one in your car. Please, we need your prayers. The you can pray for our city, Jerez, or Jerez, if you wanted to say it the southern way. but Jerez, Jerez, you can pray for Mexico. But pray that the Lord of the harvest will send more laborers. Our Lord's prayer request. So pray for us. We have, as I said this morning, the end of March. We firmly believe God will have the rest of our support, and we'll be ready. Our sending service is scheduled for the 28th of March, and we truly intend to be there by the 1st of April, through the border and down to where we're going. So please continue to pray for us, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here. If you will, please take your Bible, and we'll step into the message this evening. Now, Pastor, have you been going through Philippians? Okay, that's scary for me, but that's okay, because that's where we're going this evening, Philippians chapter 1. No one ever, the pastor turned that this morning, because I've been praying about this week, but you know, I think it's just really the Lord's will for, to reiterate and look at some things. But we're going to take a look at Philippians chapter 1. And we've had a lot of exciting experiences on our deputation. One of those experiences I'll get into in a little bit was kind of, it was scary. It was hair-raising. And I'll tell you about that. But let's read this here real quick, and we'll say a word of prayer. But Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." And here's our key verse for the evening. "But I would ye understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." In verse 13, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all places and in all the palace and in all other places." Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we just thank you for the opportunity to be back here, Lord. Father, if our hearts are not open tonight, our meeting here is in vain. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you'll meet here with us, Father. I need your power. I need clarity of speech, Father. I need your spirit, Father. Lord, we all need you here tonight, Father. Lord, may we come with an open heart, ready to receive and engraft your word and make it a part of us, Lord. We pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. That verse, verse 12 says, "But I would ye understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." That term, to understand, Paul is trying to say here, he says, I need you to get something. I need you to understand. Not just let it go in one ear and out the other. I need you to mull this over and think about it. I need you to be able to comprehend it. And what he's trying to get them to comprehend is that the things which happened unto him. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, in several places, we know we should have tribulations. We as Christians, the day that, you know, when I was younger, and I got saved when I was 14, and I thought, whenever I finally stepped out of that aisle of the church camp, and I walked down front, and somebody went through the plan of salvation, and I prayed and accepted Christ as my into my heart. When I did that, I knew immediately what God had done in my life. I knew I was cleansed. I also thought, whoo, it's all better now. I'm going to be okay. It's clear sailing from here. But we should have tribulations. We're going to have some hard times. We're going to have some troubles. And Paul, having gone through his mission journeys, and he went through some hard times. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. He was left for dead. He had some hard times. And he says, "But I would ye understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." That last phrase is very important. To the furtherance of the gospel. That has been a phrase that when God brought this verse to me several months ago and just worked on my life. We've had some things in our deputation that were challenging. Thinking we had enough money and everything's working great, and then the truck's not working so great, and our gas starts burning instead of that 12 to 14 miles a gallon. We started getting 8, and next thing you know, we're out of money. But God took us through that to build us stronger, to refine us. And we've taken that, and as we've grown in that strength, it's been for the furtherance of the gospel. There may be some in here, you know, we've had some hard time in our nation this year in finances. Loss of jobs, increase of gas, increase of food, increase of everything. More outgo, less income. That's a hard thing to go through, but perhaps it's one of those things that is for the furtherance of the gospel. Many years ago, when we had an opportunity I used to be a ski instructor way back in between the Marine Corps and the Army. I had some time there, and I was a ski instructor. We had an opportunity to go out to Colorado. And as we went out there, we were going to work again, and my car, right, blew a head gasket. Cracked the engine, water went in the piston, and shot out, and blew water back into the radiator, and blew the radiator out, and next thing you know, we were just stranded. Now, we didn't know all this at that time. We just knew that we were stuck on the side of the hill and didn't know what was wrong. And as we got out of the car, we just thought, you know, dear Lord, I don't know what's going on. And so I started trying to thumb somebody down. Nobody stops. And we just had the one child. And as we got into the car, I said, "Honey, nobody's stopping." And the wind's coming right up this Loveland Pass in Colorado outside of Denver. And as the wind's just going up, it's cold, we pray. And we said, "God, you know, I don't know what's going on here, but we need you, and whatever it is needs to happen, Lord, it's just yours." And throughout that event, you know, I got back out, and the second or third car came by and stopped, and they've crammed the three of us in and took us back down this gas station. Long story short, we come back the next week after skiing with some friends of ours and thought, you know, the car is going to be fixed. And they said it was, and or is going to be. And so here we come down, and they open up. They dropped us off that morning, and they went on to Denver, and we're waiting for them to open. Come to find out, says, no, you know, it wasn't your radiator. It was your whole engine. And through the course of that day, we prayed. We sat in the gas station. We used the gas station phone. We asked the guy, well, is there a dealership here or a dealership down there? And just sought his knowledge, and he just let us keep on using his phone. We were poor college students with the child, and we didn't have anything. We had to pay for the part, which took all the money that we had. And so there we were, just living our life, having a hard time. And throughout the course of that day, you know, the last little bit of money, we probably bought lunch. And as we determined what needed to happen, we found a place down in Denver to buy our car. And so we just had to get it down there where we're going to, you know, get the tow truck, take us down there and get the money from what they're going to buy the salvage value of our car and pay the tow guy. And when we got in the tow truck to take off, he said, you made some friends here today. What are you talking about? He says, well, the owner of the gas station said, take these folks wherever they need to be. They're the nicest folks I've ever met. Just take them and I'll take care of the bill. It has nothing to, and my point of the story is not to praise or glorify us. It had nothing to do with it. We were just going through a hard time. We had the opportunity recently to go back through Colorado. We wanted to go see Chris, the gas station owner, who so many years before, 11, 10 and a half years ago, so many years before had helped us out in a jam. And we wanted to go back, and you know, throughout that day, we did everything that we could just to try to survive and go through that. And we prayed, and he saw that. He saw our life that day. And when I went back, it came to find out Chris had died. He was on his way home from work, and a rock rolled off the hill, and he died. Just a couple years before. Had we done everything that we could? Has somebody else, had he taken that and wondered, what made these people different? Could we have done more for the furtherance of the gospel? There's things that happens in our life. We get beaten, we get knocked around, maybe not physically, but it's for the furtherance of the gospel. We should walk, we should live our life each and every day. If you will, turn with me real quick to 2 Chronicles. I just want to show you what somebody else did. The sermon this morning just really spoke to my heart. And in 2 Chronicles 14, you see what somebody else did here in the Bible. 2 Chronicles 14, and King Asa is who we're talking about. In verse 11, it says, and Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee. In thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. See, here's the history behind this. King Asa had an army of about 580,000. And he's going up against an army of 1,000,000. And they had 380 chariots. He's in a hard spot. And the first thing that King Asa did, the first thing is he cried unto his God. So many times we get caught up. So many times we get busy. It's like we start thinking, who can I call to ask for help? Who can I call to ask for help? And we start calling our friends. We call our mother. We call our dad. We call our pastor. Before we cry unto our God. And there's so many, just a simple thing. King Asa realized something. It's your battle, God. It says there, let not man prevail against thee. See, God, I'm in the place you want me to be. I'm how you want to me to be. I have the people you want me to have. And I've got this big, hard task ahead of me. I don't know how you're going to do this. The first thing he did was cry unto the Lord. We get so caught up in our friends, in our relatives, or maybe even going to our pastor first. But we have to cry unto the Lord. And King Asa did that first. Second, he acknowledged that it was God's battle. It was God's battle. Have you gone through a hardship recently that you've taken on yourself? You bore it on your shoulders. That you've taken that. And you said, I can keep on going, I can keep on going. And after a while, you're broken down, you're tired. And already King Asa right here said, for we rest on thee. If you have those trials and those struggles, whatever job, whatever it might be, that distracts us. And we forget a simple thing that these things happened to Paul. These things are going to happen to us. As Christians, as believers, we should be stronger. People are going to see our life. And we may feel weak inside, but you know where these things should be resting? We rest on thee, O God. Take those things and put them aside. And if we just go with this mind, let this mind be in you. That we see later on. That this is for the furtherance of the gospel. Our starter just this past week went in to have a birthday dinner at Golden Corral. Talked to your pastor, thinking we're going to go ahead and come here and park the trailer and then go down to Florida. That didn't happen. We came out. It didn't start. Gave me the opportunity to witness to two people. Because I've been trying to say, God, just help me get this. If we can get this in our life, Christians, if we can get this, that everything that we do, our whole life, like we sang this morning, more about Jesus. More about the furtherance of the gospel. God, if you're going to have me go through this hard time, may it be more for thee. May it be more for the furtherance of the gospel. God, how can I bring glory to you in this? How can I live my life more devoted? With this flat tire, with this loss of job, you know what we also see in verse 14. Let's go back over here to 1 Philippians, verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord Now we're talking, he's talking about his bonds in verse 13. It says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds. How you handle these things can have a lasting impact on your coworkers. Can have a lasting impact on your children, on your friends, on your family. Do you realize whenever you just decide to rest on the Lord, others can grow in confidence. Others can grow in their faith. I'll share how that helps Paul if you'll turn 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 3. You know, where we talked about where we're going to have in verse 4, it says, you should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. Paul's having a hard time because he says, you know, down here in verse 7, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he says, you know, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you. When? In all our affliction and distress. How was he comforted over them? These last few words. By your faith. Your faith can not only comfort somebody else. When they see you going through this, you know what? Because when the hard times and the storms hit them, they say, you know what? Brother Brett, I saw him go through that trial. I can do it too. I can be confident. And then whenever you have a missionary, Paul, who's been going out, and in all his affliction and distress, he's comforted by the faith of the Thessalonians. Comforted by how they're living. Because he said, I sent to know, for in verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith, I needed to know your faith. When I could no longer forbear, in verse 5, I could no longer forbear, I needed to know, how are you doing? Was our labor there in vain? Have you been tempted? Have you fallen by the wayside? I need some comfort. How is your faith doing? You know what happened whenever Paul found out about their faith? And he was comforted over their faith? He was excited. But verse 8 says this, for now we live. That means not to perish, not to die on the vine, to be able to keep on going. He says, for now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. What we see is that our faith, our walk, has just as much to do about others as it does our own life. You know, if I get up this morning and I don't pray and I don't, you know, in my own strength, I can go through it. I can chug along and I can go through the day. It may not have been as good of a day if I would have got up and spent time with my Lord, but I can do it. But who life depends on me doing that? Paul's life depended on their life. Paul's life said, now I can live. I know about your faith. I know that you have remembrance of me. I know that you're praying for me. waxing confident by my bonds, Paul said. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bond, by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. This morning's message, as the pastor talked about in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And how Brother Lane was saying, we got to get it. We have to get it. We have to get every time your starter breaks in your truck. Every time you break down somewhere. Every time you're having a hard time. Every day that there's a struggle. Every time your life can be the example somebody needs to see for the furtherance of the gospel. We are just regular folks going to Mexico. There is nothing special about us. We've just simply tried to pray and say, God, what would you have us do? And He laid on our hearts, Spanish speaking, God, where? Mexico. We had an opportunity this past summer to go back down to Mexico since our survey trip back in whatever year that was, 2008. We got to go there for our survey trip, and this August we had a chance. As we were there, and we were in charge of the home, and the missionaries that we're going to be helping, as you saw in our video, have a children's home and their church plant, and we'll be helping in both. Well, they were gone for a week, and we were at the home. The people in the community, somebody found out that they were gone, and we were here, and Americans and different Americans. These must be the rich Americans. The other ones they knew weren't rich. And so they called and said, we know the Benedicts are gone, and you need to pay up. We're going to come out and start shooting. We have guns. We'll drive out. We'll start killing kids until you pay up. King Asa, I don't do this every time, but I cried unto the Lord. What are we to do, God? My wife started rallying. I mean, it was good military training my wife went through all those 10 years of being married to the Army and me. And she started securing our perimeter, getting all the kids in from the little store right there in the little village and shutting in the gates and getting everybody behind closed doors. And I'm on the cell phone while the 15-year-old boy translating falls into a puddle, literally just crying. I don't want the guy on the phone to hear that. And so I have another boy come in and tell him what's going on. And he picks up the phone and starts, translating for me. I'm trying to call the police. The police said, don't worry about it because they're corrupt. It may have been one of them. And so here we are. I called the Benedicts and say, by the way, while you're, with your family that you haven't got to see in a long time for this, few days, what's your standard operating procedure for threats? and they said, we don't have any. Glad it's you. No. But as we started going through that trial, that time, we said, God, oh God, what do we need to do? And just the words no came to my mind. And we told them no. And as soon as we did, it was just click. As far as we knew, they were getting into their trucks that they said they had, getting the guns that they said they had, and going to come out and start shooting like they said they would. And over the course of a couple hours, nothing happened. We're all closed in. We got a movie on for the kids and trying to, keep things down. And I did a little devotion with the kids. Well, first off, with the one who was broken down crying, I did that same devotion with them. I said, we're bought with a price. our life is not our own. It doesn't matter what's going on. You're Christ's. The 15-year-old boy who's a Christian realized that. The tears, and literally just, he was a puddle on the ground. He started to stiffen his backbone. His whole countenance changed. He realized he got, no matter what happened, he was Christ's. And when we live life like that, it will be for the furtherance of the gospel. More souls saved. It will be for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, just to end the story for you, I often leave people hanging. Nothing happened. I had to leave Carrie for a little bit, and I came back, and God kind of took me through my own personal time to help me realize I'm not that kind of soldier anymore. Meaning I was reverting back to my Marine Corps days, my Army days, and the training I did in the Marine. I was in Marine Recon, so if you know what that is, kind of like the Special Forces. And I was thinking what I could do. And God just let me know I'm not that kind of soldier anymore. It gave me the confidence to do whatever God would have me do. Whether that meant just drive up with whatever vehicles and whatever guns were there, I was prepared to do that. Now, nothing happened. 10 o'clock that night, we saw trucks with cages in the back, people standing in those trucks with guns, silhouetted on the moon in the moonlight, coming on the road. Frantic in the house. Ah, they're coming, they're here. You know, we're shutting off all the lights. You know, there's different light switches, so it's more like, you know, on, off, on, on, off. Finally, I just yelled, stop! We got all the lights off so we could see out. And then, but then, I saw the Humvee. We didn't call the military. The police didn't care. How'd they find out? They did. They set up a checkpoint right out in front. The military did. Stopped several cars. Made a big show of force. 15, 20 minutes later, they hopped in their vehicles and left. It sent a message, don't mess with the children's home. The furtherance of the gospel in that situation, for example, was in that 15-year-old boy who realized that his life was bought with a price. It's not his own. That will be for the furtherance of the gospel. I saw the change in that young man. It was amazing. And whenever we take life, all these things, but I would ye understand, that ye should understand, brethren. I need you to comprehend it. I need you to get it, Paul's saying. That the things, I like that word. The things which happened unto me have fallen out, rather for the furtherance of the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. Father, we just need to get that everything that happens is for you. That our life is yours and that it is and should be for the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, if we could just keep that in our mind. Every trial, every heartache, every hardship, everything, even those good things that happen, Father, is for the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, help us to have that mind in us. We pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Pastor.